Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
What if there was a way to level up your energy, get rid of stress, and take more control of your body? Welcome to Quantum Upgrade. This is a new technology that taps into quantum energy to help you feel amazing. Quantum Upgrade has a lot of different products that help protect you from EMF and help activate your body's natural healing abilities. You can expect better sleep, more resilience, less stress, and better blood flow. The cool thing about Quantum Upgrade is that the products are backed by a lot of heavy-duty scientific studies, and there's a new measurable upgrade. You can now use Quantum Upgrade to increase your consciousness levels between 1400 and 2200 on the Hawkins map of consciousness. If you don't know what that means, do some research because it's impressive, it's fun to learn about, and it's something that I've come to understand. Ready to try Quantum Upgrade? Visit quantumupgrade.io/Dave for a 7-day free trial. What if there was a way to feel younger for longer? Well, there is. Your body needs something called the NAD plus molecule to help you age well. When you're young, your body makes a lot of NAD plus, and that helps you make energy, it helps you keep your DNA healthy, absorb nutrients well, and it protects your cells from stress. But once you hit about 30, your NAD plus levels start to drop. The good news is that longevity scientists have found some things that can help, like niacin, niacinamide, and niagen. They help your body make more NAD plus even as you age. All three of these are in an amazing formula called Qualia NAD Plus. Check out Qualia NAD Plus risk-free for up to 100 days at neurohacker.com/Dave15 to save an extra 15%. That's neurohacker.com/Dave15, Qualia NAD Plus. It's what I use.
Today's cool fact of the day is that the most predictable cause of mitochondrial function decline is actually getting old. That's because between age about 30 and age 70, your mitochondrial efficiency decreases by about 50%. And your mitochondria are like the batteries in your cells or the power plants. And if they only make half as much energy as they used to, you're probably going to feel old. It's kind of a good thing, if that's what happens to the average 70-year-old, that I have no interest in being average. And if you're listening to Bulletproof Radio, you probably have no interest in being average either. So just because it happens to most people doesn't mean it has to happen to you. And you can take control of that stuff. In fact, if you were to have mitochondrial function of a 25-year-old when you were 70, you'd probably be the most ass-kicking 70-year-old on the planet. And that sort of thing is totally possible.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of 6 different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Today's guest is a friend, a guy I've come to admire and know over time, and a guy who'll be speaking at the Bulletproof Conference this year. And it is none other than the number one most influential guy online in health, Dr. Joseph Mercola. Dr. Mercola, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave. It's a great privilege to be here, connect with you.
That was kind of a short introduction because in addition to being the number one guy online, you're a family physician, like an actual doctor for 25 years with tens of thousands of patients. But you went online early and you've relentlessly shared information that I've been able to use, information that helped influence the Better Baby book, my first book. And just information that I think has helped the lives of tens, if not hundreds of millions of people. You've been incredibly high integrity about some of the things you've done, particularly around talking about how important light is for the health of humans. And I have great respect for you, and I'm happy to have you on the show today. So just thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here because it's unusual to dialogue with someone who understands health as much as you do. And I speak all around the country at a variety of different conferences, and it's never a problem to put the PowerPoint together. But when I'm going to speak in October at Bulletproof Conference, you know, I've got a dialogue with you because so much of what we teach is the same.
Yeah, I'm counting on you to bring something new there. And I'm out of new ideas myself. So
we have a lot of – I did – you know, you were kind enough to send me a copy before the publication, and I read it word for word. In fact, I gave you one correction. There was a mistake in there, but it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I think anyone who decides to purchase it will be really rewarded. You know, that to me, one of the best investments you can make are books. I mean, you know, you just mentioned there are thousands of hours into this, and for thousands of hours for $15, $16, it's just crazy. And, you know, I read about 150, 200 books a year. And, you know, I get that on steroids. I love to gather information that way. It's so much more efficient.
It's one of those things where if you're listening to this right now, you're spending an hour of your time. That's 25% of what it takes to read a book that has thousands of hours in it. And I'll tell you, between Dr. Mercola's gazillion hours of experience and my substantial but not that big amount of experience, you're getting a pretty good concentrated drip here, but it's nowhere near as concentrated as you can get in a book.
I would just caution you not to sell yourself short, because believe me, you've achieved a remarkable status of – not status, but a collection of knowledge that can really and radically revolutionize a person's health. There's no question about
you.
It. You've done a great job, and I appreciate what you're doing for the health community.
Well, it's a huge compliment, Dr. Mercola, truly, because I think
– I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
I believe that, and that's why it's a huge compliment. And I also know that some of the ideas I talk about, you're the first person that I've seen to talk about them. So you've also really moved the needle. So T.S. Wiley, the woman who wrote Lights Out, Sugar, Survival, and Light.
Oh, yeah, she passed away, you know. She passed away a few years ago.
It's too bad. She gave me my copy of her book. She handed it to me in person at an A4M meeting. But it was the two of you who really got me thinking about light, even back in the late 90s.
But then you took it the next step. I kind of understood it, but I never really dug deep. And then I started to get it just within the last year at a much far more profound level. And, you know, now it's right up there with diet and food. I mean, I'm not sure which one's more important, but they're both way up there.
Well, and I'm going to send you a gift and very soon. In fact, I'll show you what they look like.
Oh, I read about them. Yes. The true dark glasses.
True dark glasses from the book.
Yes.
And these are the patented.
You can't buy them yet. You can't find them anywhere.
They're on pre-order right now on biohacked.com. And they should be shipping within like a couple weeks.
Okay.
And they'll be up for sale in other places.
And what, does it block everything from 550 below?
There's actually a set of different filters where it's not everything. Oh. And what is every single frequency that affects your circadian rhythm, the things that affect sleep, are all blocked out. So you get literally the mitochondria in your eyes believe it's pitch black, even though you can still see. And so like the sleep impact, it's really huge. And what it came from is that lights that go through blue blockers still, they go through the non-optical sensors where they receive light, but they don't go into non-visual sensors. So they're optical sensors that just go straight to the SCN in the brain and tell your body to wake up and to turn off melatonin. They're different than the visible blue. So these are...
You're an innovator. That's what I expect about you. You take it to the next level. So that's fantastic. I look forward to getting that. But the question of the day is, can you see your PowerPoints when you're lecturing in a dark lecture hall, which is illuminated by fluorescent or LED lights?
If you're wearing these glasses during a lecture, you can see all but the red font. Okay. So don't use red fonts. You'll be okay. And if you're doing color correct work, they didn't work. But for reading at night, I wear those if I'm going to read on any electronic device. And during the day, if I'm sitting in a crappy lighting fluorescent LED light, I might wear them for a few minutes, and they just allow they allow relaxation of the brain and the eyes in a way that I've never been able to achieve.
Look forward to testing them out. I've got actually a spectrophotometer, so I can measure the wavelengths coming through, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, But the, one of the reasons why I wanted to be on your show is to talk about my new book, which echoes your book. I mean, they really are a phenomenal compliment. And we're seeking, we had some challenges to connect with your staff. So I'm going to be interviewing you on my site too. So we can co-promote our books, but they really do complement each other really well. My book is Fat for Fuel.
It is. In fact, this will probably be your fourth New York Times bestseller because we've talked about effortless healing before, and Fat for Fuel is a great name for a book. And you're talking about like really
not
big
as,
stuff.
Not as good as Bulletproof, but it's pretty good. Yeah, you got another gold star for that one. This one of the two best health names I think of. The other one is Eat Right for Your Type by Diodamo.
The rhyming on that is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bulletproof Roof. I couldn't pull that one off. So.
It was good.
Fat for Fuel is a really powerful book because one thing you do, and you've always done, is you reference the science. And even when people are saying, well, that didn't happen because it can't. And you're like, well, here's the five studies that show it can. And you've always been like that. And here you're talking about combating cancer, making your brain work better and giving you more energy by using fat. So people listen to Bulletproof Radio, they all like, okay, geez, should you guys read this book? Oh, of course you should read this book because it's going to have information and we're in alignment, but there's different takes. There's different information on these things. And this is how you learn by learning from different experts.
Yeah, as I said, they complement each other really well. The motivation for me to write this book was I was incredibly emotionally inspired after reading Tripping Over the Truth by Travis Kaskopoulos and the Metabolic Theory of Cancer,
yes.
Which really, I don't know if you've read that, but it's just an unbelievable, magnificent book that really exposes the truth of the fallacy of the genetic theory of cancer. It's just fatally flawed and it really is mitochondrial disease. Mitochondrial dysfunction is the core of it, which is why I so fondly embrace what you're teaching because it addresses the cancer. I mean, literally, Dave, we have 1 in 2 males in this country that are going to have cancer in their lifetime. And this does not count skin cancer. And the women are not far behind, are 1 in 3.
Yeah.
So that's just crazy. And it's almost always related to mitochondrial dysfunction, which is so easily reversed if you understand what to do.
I'm seeing parents of kids, people my age with cancer, like it's a regular occurrence now.
And even their kids.
Yeah. It's scary and it shouldn't be happening. And like you said, it's mitochondrial and it's a system of things that affect it. And in your book, you're focusing on fat. Mm-hmm. What makes you think or believe or say what evidence do we have that cancer is indeed a mitochondrial disease? Like what's your take on that?
Well, we could spend 2 to 3 hours on that, but I think that if you like the brief synopsis, I would read Travis's book. If you're a biochemical hacker, as many of your viewers and listeners are, then I would definitely go get the definitive book on that, which is Thomas Seyfried's book, Cancer is a Metabolic Disease, The Metabolic Theory of Cancer, Metabolic Theory of Cancer. Unbelievable man. In fact, a good portion of the revenues and the profits from this book are being directed to continue the funding for Dr. Seyfried because he is revising the protocol on how to treat cancers. In fact, I just interviewed about 2 weeks ago a group of oncologists from Turkey who were treating stage 4 cancers with his protocols and were getting 50% improvement in people who are given a few weeks to live. That's just incredible. And they don't even have his latest revision. So we're funding some of the research he's going to be doing on rats. He's got the best rat cancer model in the world. I mean, it's no one would dispute that. So it could take some time to do it, but we're going to revise the therapy because it's not just lowering the carbs. It's also making sure that you understand the protein component. And you do. You're one of the only people. Virtually no one in health, I mean, all these paleo people talk about the low carb, and that's great, but they're not talking about controlling the protein. And then they're not talking about cycling, which you get. I mean, that is just a profound innovation is that you have to understand cycling because if you don't, you're going to ruin it up. And that's what this group in Turkey did. They understood the cycling. So they would give these people bursts. Even though they had stage 4 cancer, they would still burst them up. And that's where you get the magic. You know, the metabolic magic occurs in that refeeding phase.
It's shocking what happens if you do the same thing all the time. And it doesn't matter what the same thing is, ketosis, high sugar, it doesn't matter. If you do the same thing all the time, the body will lose its flexibility. And it's meant to be stressed metabolically by temperature, by light, by vibration, by sound. It all of these things are supposed to fluctuate. And if you put them constant, well, you know what's going to happen. Nothing good.
Yeah, there's no question. One of the interesting features of this book, you know very well from reading scientific papers, that the general most science journals require a peer review process where they send it out to some independent objective third parties, preferably unless you're in the drug industry. So drug influence, but that's the ideal. And I thought that really is a marvelous model when it works well. And I thought I'd replicate that with this book. So these aren't just my ideas or something I read in a book or online or saw a video. I sent it out to over 24 of the top researchers in the country on this. And so it's carefully vetted. And the information in this book is solid. I mean, there's no mistakes in it. Now, at least mistakes from the perspective of the state of the art of the knowledge of when it was written, which was the end of last year. Of course, we're going to learn new knowledge and we're going to revise it and improve it. I mean, that's just the nature of science, but it's solid and you can trust the information in there.
Well, one of the other theories of cancer, and this is something that we didn't talk about last time, is something that really caught my attention. You were kind enough to screen Moldy, my documentary, for your listeners or your viewers, whatever, your blog visitors, whatever you call that large number of people who read your stuff. And there's the Fungal Bionics series from A.V. Constantini presented a pretty compelling case that at least some cancer is actually a fungal infection, or at least tied to fungal toxins, which themselves are mitochondrial toxins. The old mitochondria are bacteria, ancient bacteria, and fungus and bacteria have had war for their entire existence. It's no wonder that out here a fungus could affect mitochondria and make it a mitochondrial disease. Do you believe that some cancer is actually a fungal infection?
Oh, it's whether I believe it or not, it doesn't just take away from the truth. They clearly are. And okay. I've actually read Constantini's books. He's done that for a while. I think in the 90s I read his books and saw him lecture. Yeah. Is he still alive? I don't know.
No, his children or grandchildren are running it. And I ordered his books from Germany when they first came out. They were like $500 a copy and
they
arrived hand-wrapped and all that. But they changed my thinking about cancer, realizing that, I see people who I know have a fungal infection. I'm like, if they would just go on antifungals, they wouldn't have cancer. And I see people who have mitochondrial disorders, and I don't think, it's not a sac fungus growing in their brain. It's something else. And so for people listening, we say cancer is a mitochondrial disorder. I always want to put a little asterisk in there and go, yes, and sometimes it's not cancer. It's fungus.
Well, I believe the toxins, the mycotoxins actually cause mitochondrial dysfunction, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Yeah, so that's the mechanism. It's still mitochondrial dysfunction.
Well, I guess to be really really specific in the question, Constantini and Doug Kaufman, another
Kaufman,
friend.
Sure. I just lectured with him a few months ago.
Oh, he did? Cool. I've been out to visit him at his studio. He's a good guy. He was also in Moldy. And his perspective, and what I think I'm leaning towards, is that sometimes cancer is actually the fungus itself growing, which shares a lot of DNA with us. And on a microscope, you don't really see it, but you would see it on genetic analysis. And so maybe 20% of cancers are actually fungal infections that look like cancer, but they act like fungal infections. And then the rest of it is just mitochondrial disorder that spreads in the body. Do you buy that perspective, or is it just that the fungus caused mitochondria?
I haven't studied it carefully enough. Okay. I read Constantini's work about 20 years ago or so.
Okay.
And I don't recall the details, but from my perspective now, it would make sense because the treatments are pretty similar. You know, the treatments from Doug Kaufman's perspective is to clean up your diet. Just everything we're talking about, Gut Fuel and Headstrong. So that's going to eliminate the most of the mycotoxin, but it won't eliminate your exposure if you're in a moldy environment. You obviously have to address that.
You got to fix that.
You got to fix it or move or remediate or whatever, get the water intrusion out of your system. So,
your book is about the mitochondrial side of it, clearly. But I just figured of all the health influencers who would know. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we focus on. And really specific details on what you can do. Dr. Seyfried is probably the leading expert in the world on this whole process. And he's a researcher. He's a PhD. He's a scientist. He does not treat patients. But he's had a lot of people contact him, and he refers all those patients to a nutritionist. And the nutritionist helped me co-write the book. She's treated 400 or 500 of his patients in the trenches, with this program. And her name is Miriam Kalamian, and she has actually had a son who died from a very aggressive brain cancer. And she just didn't know this information at the beginning. That's what catapulted her into this whole process.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she knew now what she knew back then, her son would still be alive, but she didn't. And it's a process. So she helped me write this. And that's why it's one of the reasons why it's so good, because there's a lot of good, practical, real world experience in there.
So in your, I didn't realize, I probably should have looked at the subtitle there, or the co-author there. I didn't realize her background.
Well, she's not a co-author. She's,
oh,
she's just, okay. she's sort of a ghost editor.
Oh, okay. Someone who helped. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, she's interestingly, the vision for this book is to create a massive demand in the country for this type of service and appreciation of that. So what we're doing at the same time is we're working with the American College of Nutrition, and Miriam has developed a certification course so that other healthcare professionals, nutritionists, physicians, chiropractors, can become certified and start helping people with this so they can have a health coach and walk them through it. I know you've got your own Bulletproof certification program, but this is a little bit different.
Yeah, no, you're doing medical certification. We're doing like people who want to be coaches, and it's only some food. It's actually more around mindset and food and how the physical hardware affects mindset. So it totally not in any way competitive. In fact, very complimentary. We get a lot of doctors who come to our thing, but it's not a continuing medical education. It's not CME. It's none of that, and it's by design.
This is professionally certified, so I mean, you get the whole darn thing. But
I would hope that, and there's a ton of doctors who listen to Bulletproof Radio.
I know.
So I would hope that if you're listening, this is the kind of thing to do, because what I've learned ever since I really started repairing myself in my late 20s, is, you know, 15 years ago, I knew even back then that the mitochondrial things worked, that whatever I could do that in a study would do things, and the very early coconut oil moving into the brain octane and things like that, they all worked, but I hadn't put it all together until I wrote Headstrong to realize that every single thing that mattered was mitochondrial. There is nothing that I have ever done that improved my performance or brought me back from being a fat, unhealthy, tired, brain foggy guy that was not a mitochondrial biohack. Like, everyone. And if you distill everything down to root causes, and you're a doctor and you care about getting the maximum benefit for a patient, whether you have 3 minutes or 3 hours with a patient, if you understand that there's just one thing that affects everything, that's where you have the most leverage for your time. And you spent 12 years in medical school and hundreds of thousands of dollars in your training. If you can get more return on every minute invested with a patient, you get it from mitochondria. And like, that's why the program you're talking about would be like something every doctor should go to.
No question. Well, fortunately, I went to medical school. I graduated in 82. So that was a while ago, 35 years.
Could you guys spell? Could they spell mitochondria back then, Dr. Mercola?
Well, I'll tell you what they couldn't spell, and they did until the 90s, was mTOR, which is still not in the consciousness of most people. So, the sad reality is, and I couldn't agree more with your assessment of the importance of mitochondrial function, but the sad reality is only a handful, my guess I couldn't imagine anything, but far less than 1% of clinicians appreciate what you just said.
Well, they will after they hear this.
They know mitochondria. They know what they do, but they don't get the full picture. I know I didn't fully appreciate it until I read Travis's book and started digging deep in this. And I literally read thousands of papers, dozens of books to put this book together. So it's an important – you know, one of my strategies – I've got to share one of my strategies, personal strategies, because I think you'd like this – is I fully embrace the photobiology, and I live near the ocean in a very nice environment, a little bit different than Vancouver. So most of the year I'm able to go out, I would say almost all the time, because even if it's cold, you can still, you know, you do cold thermogenesis. But I get about 90 minutes or longer a day walking on the beach, most of the time barefoot and without a shirt, almost all the time actually. And so I'm getting the photons, getting the electrons, getting the negative ions from the ocean, getting the microbes from the seabirds that are there and fish. So I mean, that's, you know, just improving my microbial diversity. But the you know, how, so you, the obvious question for most busy professionals would be, why the how the hell do you justify that time commitment? Well, that's when I do my reading. That's why I was able to read 150 books. I read the books, or, you know, the neat hack. I don't know if you want to realize this. Many people may not, so I'm going to share it. That if you have a Kindle, and I love Kindle the best because the healthiest light
yes,
device.
Yes.
Possibly, there is no light. It's just reflected sunlight.
And oh, by the way, you, know, you don't mean Kindle Fire. You mean the paper Kindle, the e-paper
one.
I
personally use the Oasis, which is their high-end
one,
but Paperwhite, there's a whole, they have a whole series of different ones, but
the ones that don't have an LED screen is what I'm saying, just for people listening.
Well, there is an LED light in there. They have a light source, but you just turn it off.
Okay, cool.
And the battery lasts longer too. So you just use reflective sunlight. In fact, the brighter it is, the easier it is to read. So, but what most people don't realize is you can read other books, other materials on there other than books that you purchase on Amazon. You actually have in your Amazon account, you can go to the device settings and you'll get the email address for your device. Because if you have, I must have 10, 15 Kindles that I purchased. So you have to figure out which one it is. And then you can set that as your default. And then you could send PDFs, you can send web pages, 300-page Word documents. I'm just reading Miriam's. We read about the first four chapters of her book today, and it was a Word document. It was a 600-page Word document. So you can download those to your Kindle and you read them. It's just great. So that's an interesting hack where you can optimize your photobiology and improve your mind.
So you live in Florida, which gives you all that amazing sunshine.
Yes.
And in your book, Fat for Fuel, you talk about photobiomodulation, about light exposure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
we don't go into too much. We talk about the photobiology, not so much the photobiomodulation, which is the artificial inducement using typically, you know, the newest ones, of course, are the infrareds and the reds to improve the metabolic function, but specifically mitochondrial at 660 to 630 and 810 to 830, somewhere in that range.
It's interesting this morning because I live in Canada where it's a little darker than in Florida. Before this interview, I was downstairs and I stood on the Bulletproof Vibe. So I'm not going for a walk, but I'm vibrating, which stimulates mitochondria the way a piezoelectric way that walking does. But I'm standing in front of a wall-mountable high ultraviolet B tanning lamp. And it actually is something that you use to manufacture because you were the first talk about
that's
these.
True.
And
I can biohack that for you, but to give you an update on that, unfortunately, the FTC thought that I failed miserably and deceived the consumers by not warning them it can cause skin cancer. So even though not one person got skin cancer, and that we use the FDA guidelines, which is physically impossible to get skin cancer because it said use it only for 5 minutes, you know, and even though we had all those cautions in there, they still said, no, you failed to do that. You've got to send out letters to everyone you sold this to, and then we get to write the letter. You can't write it, and says, "Oh, you can get Dr. Mercola lied to you. You can get your money back. Just say yes." So it was $3 million loss on that one. I mean, just the criminal nature of the FTC.
It's amazing, and people listening to this usually have no idea what's going on. There's the FDA, and they have a certain like they can tell you're not allowed to say, even if there's 50,000 studies about something, if you sell it, you're not allowed to say anything truthful about it other than whatever is in these narrow rules. So there is no free speech on that. In fact, it's called controlled speech. That's actually the word for it. But the FTC, and so the FDA can come in, they can like take your inventory and things like that. The FTC can just like give you millions and millions of dollars in fines without a warning. And so they're the ones where guys like you and me who are working on moving the needle, we have an extra burden to speak truthfully about the things we sell. In fact, sometimes I want to say more about coffee, or I want to say more about brain octane or whatever. In fact, if I told people the truth about those, that's backed by phase 2 clinical trials, I would no longer be allowed to sell them. So I'm like, I'd make good stuff that makes you happy.
Or worse yet, they throw you in jail.
they might try. Fortunately, I live in Canada. It's hard to get the SWAT teams up here.
Yeah,
they can't swim.
Well, is that one of the reasons that motivated your move up there?
Not at all.
Okay,
it was my wife's medical license. We thought it would work up here. That was it. I'm not paranoid about that.
Let me give you a hack for that ultraviolet B radiation that you're getting, because you probably realize this. And you've interviewed Alexander Wunsch in the past, who I think is one of the top photobiology experts in the world. I love that man. I've interviewed him a few times. I'm going to interview him a few more. Just, if he can get back past his thick German accent. But what I would do is combine it with the red and the infrared, near infrared. So get you know, the 8:10 to 8:30 and the 6:60, 6:30 somewhere in there. And that, I think that because when you get it in the sunlight, you're getting all those those rays. You're not just getting UVB.
In fact, I have something called the red charger here, which is 40,000 red and infrared LEDs.
That's all?
It takes 220 to power the thing. It's a lot of
220 volts. Oh my gosh!
Well, I mean, it's a lot of lights.
How many watts is it?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Must be over 1,000 watts. It's a kilowatt.
It's LEDs, so they're relatively efficient, but they're high power LEDs. But it's one of those things.
Yeah, but 40,000 of them.
You lay on it and you get warm. It feels like you're in the sun, and something happens for me when I do things that really stimulate my mitochondria, whether it's pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. I've got a Pulse Wave XL Pro, which is, you know, solid state, like power systems out of jet fighters that control these giant coils. When I lay on that, or I do really high power.
Yeah, I've seen your interview with that. You put your feet on them, and you can light up a light bulb.
Oh, that's a Tesla light. That's even different. This other thing is it's like those big coils for magnetic therapy. I'm sure you've talked about those in your content, but it's a whole mat that does that. But I go into this weird altered state when I trigger my mitochondria sometimes, and I get that from that many LED lights where you sort of go somewhere. It's like a bizarre meditation. I hope it's good for me.
Well, try combine it with the UVB.
Okay, I will.
I think the combo is going to be better because you know when you get UVB, it's beneficial. Of course, it makes vitamin D, but it also causes ROS. Reactive oxygen species, and what the red and the near infrared do is they have repair and restorative functions, so they complement each other really well.
So
they're designed to be together.
I wonder if I could hang. I'd have to take apart the red charger, but I could probably hang one wall of that. And it's frustrating because one thing that I thought was really cool that you did, and I know that this is a small part of your Fat for Fuel book, and there's more I want to talk about with you there. But one of the things that you did that I thought was very, very high integrity was. You actually said, screw it, I'm not going to sell these tanning lamps anymore. I'm just going to talk about how important sunlight is. I'm going to talk about how important they are. So I'm going to turn down the money to maintain my freedom of speech. Because being able to talk about this to a million people on your list is actually more important than being able to make a few million dollars selling lamps, even though the lamps help. So like a lot of people don't think about it like that, but as a, you know, as an entrepreneur and a healer and a physician, you actually took the high road, which was I'll take less money and I'll speak more truth. And like, that's literally putting your money where your mouth is. So I thought I admired that from afar.
You know, well, thank you. But it's, you know, how much money do you need really? You know, I've got more than I need for a lifetime. So it's just a matter of learning and how to optimize and distribute that in the best way if possible. And one of my missions is to catalyze the transformation of healthcare in the United States so that so many people don't have to die needlessly and suffer needlessly. I mean, 1,600 people every day die in the United States alone every day. And you know, Dave, the vast majority of those are absolutely needless. Over probably 1,500 of them could have been reversed if they knew the information in your book and my book. No question.
The thing that
and applied it, not just knew it, applied it.
Yeah, and applied it. That's a good point. The thing that really just bothers me is that before all those people died, for the 25 years before they died, they were in a state of mitochondrial decline. And the less your mitochondrial function, and the more of an asshole you're going to be, right? And I don't usually swear on Bulletproof Radio, but that's the word for it. And I say that because when my mitochondria didn't work, that was a really good description of me. Because you don't have enough energy to regulate your emotions. So then you yell at your kids and you cut the guy off in traffic and you do all these things and you miss out on life that you could have lived because you were too tired or foggy or because your joints hurt or you just couldn't do it. That's the real cost of this. Death is just the end result, but it's the life not lived because your battery was at half charge all the time. Like that's an unacceptable state for humanity. And what you're saying about money there, once your needs are met and your family's safe and you have a place to live and good quality food, the rest of the money is it pays for a microphone to help more people or to drive some sort of social change. What else are you going to do with it? So
people can think of a lot of crazy things to do with it, and they do, as you know well.
How many?
That's the most rational approach, I think.
How many Bugattis do you have, Dr. Mercola?
None, right? I drive a pickup truck. I don't know about you, but that said, I wouldn't mind driving a Bugatti. I just don't want to buy one. So,
yeah. Yeah, they just released the latest one. I think it's $2.5 million. I forget, the Chiron or something. Well, but anyway,
at least your friends at the FTC can afford it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they did. They, just to be clear, they did not collect the funds themselves.
Oh, they didn't. Okay.
Actually, they forced us to rebate that to the consumers, and we didn't get the bed back in exchange. They got to keep the bed, and they got to get what they paid for it. Is what resulted in. But they confused and just misdirected them. They didn't explain the whole situation and what the process was. So, if our people who purchased it knew that, I don't think they wouldn't have asked
for their money back, right?
Yeah.
I certainly didn't ask for my money back. I like that thing.
Did you get the letter from the FTC?
Yeah, absolutely.
You did?
I threw it away. Like, it's just
someone with another man with integrity.
I'm like, why would I do that? Like, that's not okay. But then again, I saw what was happening. Like you were causing some discomfort with the content you were sharing.
Well, the problem was that the Surgeon General was a dermatologist. He was for 6 months or so, but then he issued all these declarations and catalyzed this movement in the FTC to really obliterate anyone who was selling tanning beds. We happen to be one of the bigger providers.
Yeah. Is there a brand of light that I get this question all the time, and I'm hesitant. I mean, I know some brands on Amazon and all this stuff, but I haven't done EMF research to really fully endorse a good brand for people. I'm thinking about putting a reptile light that's full spectrum in my dining room so my kids are exposed at breakfast. But is there a kind of light that you recommend?
We've got to be careful, because excessive UV can contribute to cataracts. So
I'm concerned.
And I think, the photobiomodulation units that Wunsch kind of discusses are probably the ideal, where they're balanced with the red, the near infrared, and the UVB. But, I really haven't carefully looked at it since we've got out of that. But here's another component, and you understand this, but I just want to reinforce it for your viewers.
Please.
And listeners, is that the UVB, of course, makes vitamin D, and that is the best, most ideal way to increase your vitamin D levels. And I have not swallowed a vitamin D pill for 10 years, and my typical vitamin D level is well over 50, typically much closer to 70 nanograms per milliliter.
Wow. Florida life.
Yeah. Well, I'm committed to it. I moved down here to be healthy, and, it's been very, very useful. So now you can swallow vitamin D, and if you don't have any other option, then it's probably your best bet. But the next best would be the UVB exposure if you're in a vitamin D winter. But ideally, you'd like to structure your life so that you can get your butt to the place where you're in the subtropical area and you don't need to do it. And hopefully high density population, because it has its own artifacts. And I live in a place where there's virtually no traffic, and have access to the beach. So it's pretty wonderful, actually.
Yeah, it's something I've considered. I really appreciate sunlight, and where I am is beautiful. I have sockeye salmon and grass fed beef in my own garden and all. But the light isn't so good here, so I supplement light.
Someone like you can figure it out, and we could discuss privately and maybe kind of brainstorm some different things for your audience, but for you personally.
Sure. I just wanted to pick your brain on that, but let's switch gears, because all this light we're talking about is directly mitochondrial based, and in Fat for Fuel you talk about mitochondrial therapy, and so my mind goes here because you're one of the few people out there who's really up to speed on light and mitochondria, and you said it's part of your book, but it's not the main focus. So tell me about mitochondrial therapy that's in the book that physicians and just listeners would be interested in.
It essentially echoes most of what you've been talking about. There's three important components.
Okay.
One is that you've got to shift your metabolism to burn fat as your primary fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I didn't appreciate. My first book was a New York Times bestseller written 13 years ago. It was a no-grain diet. But I didn't understand this concept. I just knew you had to have low carbs. And, but low carbs, as we discussed earlier, continuously is not a good idea either. So we talk about essentially this transition period, because I would say not your group, probably the majority of your viewers are probably burning fat for fuel, but well over 95% of the population, certainly 90%, but I guess probably 95% of the population is not. They're burning carbs as their primary fuel, which leads to mitochondrial metabolic dysfunction. So getting them to lower their carbs for a period until they are able to do that, we give you the specific monitors and how to address that, and then replacing that with high-quality fat and paying very careful attention to the protein, and you're one of the few people who get this. And then, you know, my recommendation is a gram per kilogram of lean body mass, which for someone like you and me is probably, you know, 60 grams a day. And if you're a half weight woman, that might be 30 grams a day, but not forever, just until you burn fat for fuel. And when you do, then 2-3 days a week when you're doing your strength training, maybe double that. Or certainly by 25-50%, you know, especially with the branched chain amino acids, with leucine, isoleucine, mm-hmm. and valine. And then you have some good healthy carbs like a sweet potato or something. So that will give you a real anabolic stimulus. And especially if you're treating cancer. As I mentioned, I interviewed a group. Maybe I didn't mention it when we were online, but interviewed last week or 2 weeks ago.
The Turkey group.
A college group from Turkey who are treating metastatic stage 4 cancer patients that were literally given a week or 2 weeks to live, and they're getting like 50% resolution rate. And they were even doing this. So there's some concern not
to protein restriction. They were doing recycling.
They were doing the cycling, okay. Which was kind of shocked me. I almost fell off my stand here because you know, I just couldn't believe that they were doing it, but they were getting incredible results. So the cycling is crucial, but only once you've been able to burn fat for fuel.
How long?
It could be a few weeks to a few months. And I mean, if you're really metabolically injured, like you were when you first started this process, it might take the 6 months, better part of a year. And it depends on how aggressive you want to get. If you're and we talk about integrating fasting, and I think you perhaps have interviewed Jason Fung before, the nephrologist from Toronto.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So great guy. I love that man. So we integrate his work in there. He was one of the guys that proofread the book for us. So, you know, if you integrate fasting, you could do it a lot more rapidly. I love fasting. You know, actually, I'm on a mini fast today. I try to do that once or twice a week, and, you know, especially after my feast days, which I love. I love feast days.
Yeah, aren't they good?
So we call it feast, famine, cycling. There's a number of different ways, but it's the same thing. It's cycling. And that's the crux of it. And we go into specific details. And you may not know of this. You may probably do, though. You're pretty bright. There's this website called – it's a nutrient tracker. It's called chronometer.com.
Yeah, Chronometer. So,
yeah. And I connected with the developer of the site, Aaron Davidson. And he actually modified the software for us. And so if you go to chronometer.com/Mercola, it's specifically adapted to ketogenic diet.
Oh, cool.
So and it's free. You know, there's no charge for it. So you can – it's a marvelous piece of software because it's really, really difficult to implement this treatment program unless you're very precise and methodical and disciplined about measuring and carefully entering it some type of nutrient tracker so you can see exactly what your calorie distribution is.
It's amazing when people get quantitative about it, what can happen, because you realize you're eating a lot more protein than you thought you were. And you're also probably burning your protein if you're on paleo. Like you singe it till it's nice and charred on the grill. It has a different effect on your mitochondria depending on how intact the fat and the protein is.
Well, it's burning up your cells too. I mean, all that mitochondria is you're activating mTOR, which just is like one of the worst things you want to do if you want to live long. I mean, chronically activating.
I was just going to say muscle mass. Okay, right.
Yeah.
You want spikes of mTOR and then low mTOR the rest of the time.
And I really don't know anyone else. I'm sure there's others, but I don't personally know anyone else who understands this and is teaching it like you are.
I think Paul Check is probably the other guy.
Okay.
Do you know Paul?
I have not studied his. Yeah, I know him personally. Yeah. But I have not studied his work for a while.
He's the only other one I've come across. You get it, and I get it, and there's. I'm kicking myself right now, but one.
It's not many people.
Yeah, there you go. So one of the guys behind Celgene also, I think, gets the stuff. But it's a random kind of fact. Except when you're looking at bodybuilders, like more mTOR. But then these are the guys who are unfortunately dropping dead of heart attacks and cancer with alarming regularity.
But they were one of the first ones to understand cycling too.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, they got that. They were the first group of individuals who got cycling. I don't know that they integrated the protein component to it, but they certainly got it from the carbs.
They did. And in fact, I've learned more from the bodybuilders than at least early in my thing than I did from the anti-aging people. And I consider them to be like opposite sides of the same coin, where like they both want profound control of their biology. One group wants to get swole. The other group wants to live forever. But like I want to be in the middle there. I'm happy to live almost forever and be almost muscular. And like, that seems like a good plan.
Yeah. You know, one of the common interventions for many anti-aging groups is to use metformin.
Yeah.
And it's pharmaceutical, of course. It's an oral hypoglycemic that helps control your blood sugar, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's a mitochondrial toxin.
Yes.
It's a mitochondrial poison. And you know, I think I heard you talk about what your British physician, who's one of your consultants.
Our medical director, Mark Atkinson. Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree more with his. And we talk about this in the book too. Is berberine as an alternative? You know, so most people don't know that. I mean, they just are using this. It's just crazy to use a drug for almost anything unless you're going to be dead because you don't. But certainly not to extend your life.
I would use a drug to extend my life if the risk reward was there.
But the likelihood is not.
You're correct. Not. The likelihood is low on that. And I took metformin for 3 years as a life extending supplement when the research first came out. And I remember I met with a team from Biomarker Pharmaceuticals, the guys who did the original research on mouse gene expression with metformin. And I walked into the room with these people and I said, I've been on it for 3 years. And they kind of looked at me like, you're the only person we know who's done that. And they said, do you mind if we ask how old you are? And I said, yes, I'm 62. Right. And you could have heard a pin drop in this room.
That's how old I am.
and that was 10 plus years ago. Right. So, and then I said, guys, come on. And it was a good conversation. But what I didn't know is in addition to the mitochondrial damage, and I was suffering from mitochondrial damage, it also can permanently alter your ability to absorb B12 even after you stop taking it. So I'm scared of metformin and I don't use it. And here's a question you may know because you're talking about getting metabolism back on track. I do all the bulletproof stuff and you and I are in similar alignment on our recommendations. I had my glucose tolerance tested and I had high glucose tolerance and I had my insulin sensitivity tested and I had perfect insulin sensitivity, like one on a scale of 160. So I handle insulin and glucose simultaneously better than the testing lab.
How did you determine insulin sensitivity by fasting insulin levels?
No.
Was it a challenge?
It wasn't a challenge. It must've just been fasting levels, but it wasn't because fasting levels don't tell you that much. I have to pull up the data. This was from Human Longevity Inc., Peter Diamandis' company, HLI.
Yeah, sure.
So,
you had that test done? It's a $25,000 test.
I had that done.
You had it done?
The full human genome, high resolution DEXA.
I just couldn't justify it. I said, no way.
It helps that I was one of the very first people to sign up for it, so I got a discount.
So it was like $10,000.
It was a more reasonable price. I'm not even sure what it was, but it was.
It's $25 now.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot, but man, one thing I learned, you'll love this because you talk about mitochondria and fat for fuel. And I had the whole body bone density thing done. Mm-hmm. And my bone density is very high because of what I eat, vitamin K2 and D3 and sunlight exposure to activate the things that we're talking about and that you talk about in your book. But I carry my cell phone on my right femur in a hip pocket or in a thigh pocket. I will not wear pants that put my phone by my junk because I don't want to fry that stuff. There's a lot of delicate stuff there that I plan to keep using until I'm 180. So the part of my femur where my phone sits has 10% less bone density, and that's my dominant leg. So where do I put this thing? Because I kind of use it.
Well, you can put it in the same place as long as you put it in airplane mode.
I tend to put it in airplane mode. That result showed me that I should put it in airplane mode more than I had been. So it's it's something that I've been dreaming about.
It's a necessary evil, but you want to limit your exposure to that. Additionally, I think there are some protectors you can put around the phone.
Yeah.
But then you won't get this. It's essentially the same thing. You won't get the cell phone signal in, so you're essentially put in airplane mode.
Yeah, and so my new plan is that I'm going to be building RF shielding into, I'm just going to have someone add some fabric to my pants and see if my bone density comes back. I'll tell you in 2 years.
Then you won't get the phone calls.
Oh no, it'll just be built against between the phone and my body, not between the phone.
Oh, okay,
and the world.
Okay, not on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea if this is going to work. I'm like.
Well, you know, basically there is something that's called radiant barrier. It's very thick aluminum foil, and you could just cut a slice out and have someone sew it in your pocket
that's what
and
I'm
put
doing.
It on the outside of that.
we'll see what happens. Maybe there's an entrepreneur listening. Do you guys want to make me some pants? Let's talk.
That's a good idea. So an interesting thing that I learned in doing the research from this, from one of my not editors, but the science collaborators, Dr. LaValle out of Texas and Nova Scotia, looked up, because he was confused about how insulin works. So he looked up some papers that were published in the late 90s. And it turns out that most people don't understand how insulin works. It does not work by lowering your glucose levels. It does not, it works by lowering glucose, but it doesn't work by driving your glucose into the cell. Do you want to know how it works?
Yeah, please explain. Yeah, I'm curious.
This is the reason why feast famine cycling works, because insulin works by suppressing hepatic gluconeogenesis. In other words, the liver's ability to generate glucose. This is why, and I was wearing, like you were, a 24-hour glucose monitor, 24/7 when I wrote this book, so I can understand this. And it was amazing. I'd be having 20 grams of carbohydrates and my blood sugar would start rising. It didn't make any sense until I realized, okay, the insulin level is too low. I measured my insulin level is like 0.1, you know, essentially like no insulin. And there's no insulin to shut off that liver from making glucose. So the surprising thing is, even though your blood sugar is starting to rise, when you eat healthy carbohydrates like sweet potatoes, a whole big sweet potato, or lots of healthy fruit, your blood sugar will start to drop, and your ketones rise. It's just the most amazing thing. Now, you can't do this all the time, but if your insulin level is really low, that's the type of reaction you get. And it confirmed the importance of this feast famine cycling for us.
There's a study that looked at cardiac mitochondrial efficiency. I believe it might have just been cardiac efficiency, or it was muscle output. But they looked at it in the presence of pure ketones, the presence of basically glucose and insulin, and the pure glucose was 4% higher. It was like 28 versus 24%. So it worked a little bit better. But ketones were 24%. Of course, they're more stable. But the combination of the two was like 36%. So you got to have a little bit of insulin and a little bit of glucose, at least some of the time.
Some of the time, yeah.
Versus what happened to me when I did no carbs. It was like one serving of broccoli a day for 3 months. It gave me egg allergies. Like I couldn't make mucus to line my gut. Like it was a horrible experiment. But at least I learned something. But man, I still have to hack that.
Well, another part of that, Dave, and I just learned developing a deeper appreciation of, is the fact that the lining of our intestinal tract actually goes from our sinuses all the way to our rectum is only one cell thick. That's the only distance between you and the inside, and it's real easy to damage that barrier. And you can do that with things like glyphosate. I mean, that's one of the most toxic.
Yes.
Obviously, gluten can do it too, but it's even worse with glyphosate. And even if you're eating completely organic, I'm not sure if you're aware of the statistics, but it's like 5 billion pounds of glyphosate are sprayed in the environment every year, and it goes up into the wind, and it will spray down on your organic crops if they're outside, unless they're in some type of greenhouse. So virtually everyone's exposed to this, and they're decimating their intestinal epithelium. So we talk about that. I mean, obviously, if you're eating organic, you're going to have a lot less exposure and cause less of this damage. But there are some things that can be done to address it, which we don't have time for here, but I'll talk to you offline and recommend some guests for you who are experts in this.
Are these in Fat for Fuel? Do you talk about this?
No, we don't, because it was too new. I just learned about this late last year, and we're still in the process of validating it, but it seems to be one of the more important mechanisms. And an interesting artifact of a therapy that addresses this is that it also decimates circulating cancer stem cells, which is what kills you when you have cancer. It's not the cancer itself. It's the circulating cancer stem cells that transfer to other tissues in your body.
Interesting.
So wouldn't that be nice to have a little therapy for that? So, you know, and I don't want to confuse anyone off up front. The optimal diet, as you and I both understand it, implemented, most likely will not cure cancer. It'll probably prevent it in most people, but it won't cure it. So you need these stack therapies. And I talked about some of them in the book. So some of them would be like hyperbaric oxygen or exercise with oxygen therapy, glycolytic inhibitors, insulin potentiation therapy. So there and a variety of other intravenous vitamin C, which I know you've interviewed Dr. Reardon recently. So these are types of the adjunctive therapies. When you add those together, which is what the oncology group in Turkey did, then you're going to get unbelievable results, even in stage 4 cancer. And if you've got stage 1, 2, or 3, you know, the likelihood of a complete resolution is very, very high. Especially, but the foundation is a diet. The absolute core is a diet.
It's the diet. One of the most inspiring things in the early days of Bulletproof that happened to me is I got contacted by a Fortune 500 CEO. And it's confidential who he is, but he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And no, this was not Steve Jobs, but that's what killed Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. And we sat down for breakfast at the Rosewood Hotel, which is right across from all the venture capital firms on Sand Hill Road, where you know all these big investments happen. And he told me what he did. And he said, Dave, as soon as I found out I had this, I didn't tell my family. And they told me that the tumor was too big to operate, and they gave me 6 months to live. And he said, screw that. I quit eating all sugar. I went into full ketosis, like very heavy-duty ketosis. And I went in and he did do very low dose chemo because he was at the point where he needed to shrink it, and they wouldn't do insulin potentiated therapy. So he brought his own insulin with him and was injecting himself with insulin during the thing. And his doctor's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, I'm a CEO. Shut up. Like,
still,
you will do
it. Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's
he shrunk
great.
The tumor in 3 months, so it was operable, had it taken out, never told his family the true extent that he was almost dead because he didn't want to freak out his little kids. And to this day, he's a happy, healthy, incredibly high vibration guy. And like taking control like that and using ketosis, but he also treated it. And I'm not a huge fan of chemo, neither are you.
No.
But
and
there
actually,
are times when it can be useful.
This Turkish Oncology Group, just because of the laws and everything, it's just very, very difficult to implement. You can do it in animal models, but you can't do it in people. So you've got to use these chemotherapy agents, but they use it at the lowest possible dose, which radically decreases the side effects. Mm-hmm. And when you're entering this, and they fast him before they get the treatment, I mean, they have virtually no side effects from the chemo, which is just remarkable.
Wow. And this is the future of cancer, and I love it. I don't talk about cancer much in Headstrong. I talk about essentially
That's why their books complement each other.
They're so together. And because you're a physician, I think you have more credibility. What do I know about treating cancer? I know about the system of the body and where it goes awry in cancer. But treating cancer, good God, like that's outside my pay grade.
The diet and your biohacks are what treats it. I mean, cancer. It treats heart disease and diabetes and Alzheimer's and neurodegenerative diseases. And seizures.
It's lifestyle that does all of those. And for me, the thing that shines through in your book as well, it's always mitochondria. And it's just, okay, if your mitochondria are a problem in your heart, you're going to have heart problems. If they're a problem in your brain, you're going to have brain problems. If they're a problem in your circulatory system, you can have problems with endothelium. Like in your nervous system, you're going to have peripheral neuropathy or Parkinson's or ALS or demyelination. And like, wow, but it's always the battery. It's everything streams down from that. And so the recommendations in Fat for Fuel, and they're complimentary, but I would just encourage people listening, if you've gone through the 300 and however 50, 60 episodes of Bulletproof, or even some subset of them, I recommend a good number of books for you. But there aren't that many books where you can learn about this kind of stuff. And there aren't that many written by people with, I would just say, a pretty darn stellar track record of breaking new health news reliably for, it's you're 20 years now. You opened in 97, right?
Yeah, this is our 20th anniversary, right. Yeah. We opened our site before Google.
Oh, you did. I was working, you probably hosted with us. I was... that when Google had one server, they put their server in my company's buildings. I didn't own the company. I was like a mid-level engineer, and I became like a little miniature executive there. But I remember back in the day going to your website going, wow, this guy really knows it. And just watching the 20 years of progression. But that's why your book is worth reading, because not only have you been doing this for 20 years of cracking new news here, but you've also been talking to people for that whole time. So it's not just your knowledge.
And I get a lot of criticism for selling things on the site, but you know, it takes something and as you also know from the reading at the beginning in 97, we didn't sell anything for the first 4 years. I was just paying for it out of my pocket as a practicing physician. But then we realized that doesn't scale very well, so we had to support it. And the first thing we sold was a cookbook, which you made a whole $5 or $6 on. So, you know, I did not go into this to as an entrepreneur to sell, you know, to earn large amounts of money.
It's exactly the same thing. And by the way, if you want to criticize someone for selling things, here's the deal. Someone's writing you a paycheck, right? Either that or mommy and daddy gave you a lot of money. Either that or you're homeless, right? Like that's the way the world works. So you're subsisting off something that was sold as well. So you need to like do some self-reflection on this. And my deal was, I was a VP at a publicly traded company. I was head of global evangelism with stock options and $250,000 a year salary. Like, I started a blog because no one told me this stuff when I was 16 years old, and I could have avoided arthritis in my knees, 3 knee surgeries, obesity, brain fog, and being a total jerk because my brain wasn't working. All that stuff, like, no one told me. So I'm like, if I tell 5 people and they only read my blog, I win karma points. Like that was why I started Bulletproof. And then I'm like, it's expensive to run this and it's taking all my time. Maybe I want coffee. Maybe I'll make this special coffee and maybe someone will buy it. I don't know. And lo and behold, now I can afford a microphone and I can drive disruption of big food. Like we're going to make corn one of those things. Like, what do we do with all that poisonous corn? No one wants it anymore. Like that's how big it is. But that takes more than $6.
No,
sorry.
Yeah. we do live in the 21st century, which is, you know, you get it more better than most people because of your tech background. But, you know, you understand the power and the influence of the internet. So especially if we are true Davids, you and I and all the others. So that's why we need to align together and collaborate, because they're enormous, powerful, mind-blowing, deceptive influences that are seeking to deceive the general public about the basic truths and facts through especially a lot of astroturfing and front groups and everything that they're using. So that's why our voices are so important, to give people the truth and that the life-saving truth. I mean, that literally can turn their entire life around. I mean, your book is every bit as important as mine with respect to providing the details they need to understand the truth and apply it to their lifestyles to get these reap these health benefits and take control of their health.
But it's funny, because hackers are ultimately about taking control of a system that they don't necessarily have full knowledge of. And one of the reasons that I decided to call this biohacking, that I do, and that I didn't trademark the term, which I could have, or copyrighted, or so that'd be a trademark. I wanted a name for the community. And if you look at what real computer hackers, my old cyberpunk friends do, Edward Snowden, and all these, we just released the huge treasure trove of hacking tools that the CIA has been using. So the thing hackers do is they find the tools that others will use against you, and they use it against them. And like, that's why I call it hacking, because if we know about this and we're in charge, no one else can feed us stuff that makes us dumb in our diet. That would be called fluoride in our water, by the way. But but like, you can't do that to us, because we know about it and we have the control. In fact, we might do it to you, because you don't know what we're going to put in your water if you're trying to put crap in ours, right? It's a balance of power thing. And I don't really go into the politics side of it thing there, but part of being a hacker is that it means you're aware of what tools can be used against you, so that you can then have countermeasures. And that's why, you know, when I fly, I wear my special TrueDark glasses. And that's why you live in a place where you don't have excessive EMF. And like we're choosing our environment because we're aware. And if we're unaware, someone else will choose our environment for us. And eventually they'll choose one that makes us weak, because that makes them more money. It's not even they do it on purpose. It's an emergent behavior that happens when you're focused on just making a buck. So maybe I'll get off my soapbox there, but that's why reading these books is so important, because then you know.
Information is powerful, especially if you apply it. No question.
Now, let's see. We have a couple more minutes in our interview. Sure. And there's so many different things I want to ask you about. In Fat for Fuel, what are the other things besides eating fat that stand out most for mitochondrial therapy?
Well, there's two other things. As I said earlier, the two most important ones are the foods that you're choosing, and then the light exposure. And I don't think I need to belabor that, because your audience really understands that. But then third, and I think you talk about it somewhat, but really has been one of my focuses, and really one of the primary motivations for me to go into medical school was to apply exercise therapy to improve health. And unfortunately, I made the mistake of using chronic cardio for almost four decades before I realized that, you know, strength training and a whole variety of other components were really healthy. So movement, I think, is the more accurate component, and it's something you want to integrate throughout your entire day. It's just moving as much as possible and not sitting. Because I'm standing right now, but standing is almost as bad as sitting if you're not moving. So you want to break it up. So those would be some of the more powerful things. And, you know, giving the tools that people need to actually implement this thing, because it's difficult. You can have the knowledge and understanding, but if you don't know how to integrate it and apply it, it's going to be a challenge. So like I noticed in some of your recommendations, you just provide general ones, which is fine. But now we get into details, like which glucose meter do you need? We tell you the one that's $7, you know, and it's only 23 cents a strip. So you don't have to spend an arm and a leg, and how to use the ketonics instead of the glucose and instead of the ketone strips, those are $4. So, you know, I try to make things as least costly as possible for people in order to implement them.
That stands out in your book. And I'm always torn about that, because I'm writing books that I'm hoping will sell hundreds of thousands of copies. Like, the Bulletproof Diet's hit about 500,000. It's in 10 languages. I'm number one bestseller in Japan.
Headstrong should hit 1 million. Hopefully.
I'm hoping. And that's global sales, not American sales.
Yeah, doesn't matter. But it still counts.
Yeah, it still counts. It means that someone read it and it helped them. Like, when I went to Japan, where I didn't do any marketing,
and I signed books, people were coming up and lifting their shirts to show me their six packs from the Bulletproof diet. And I'm like, in Japan, people are so conservative. Like they're, but I felt really good about that. And so I want Headstrong and I want Fat for Fuel to be read by everyone. The concern I had is that if I put something in there about a specific ketone, like I use the AccuCheck thing, but they'll change the model as soon as I publish the book, and then the book becomes less useful. And that was why I didn't do it. I just put it on the website.
Well, that's why I never wrote a book until 2004, because of the fear that it would become outdated real rapidly. But if throughout the book, at least my strategy is to encourage people to go to the site and sign up for the newsletter so they get the latest information and we can always update them. So that's the strategy that we use.
I imagine a good number of listeners are on your newsletter because you send out reliable news every day. So
that's our goal. Yeah. I mean, we seek to do that.
Well, let's see. There's a question, and I asked you this last time, but I bet your answer is different this time.
Yes, it is.
And the question is, if someone came to you tomorrow, Dr. Mercola, and they said, look, I want to perform better at every single thing that I do. What are the three most important things that I need to know? What would you tell them now?
Well, it's certainly modified from the last time you asked me this question. And the two most important I've addressed earlier, which is the food that you eat, paying really careful and close attention to the quality of the food to get the macronutrient composition correct, but also to make sure you're avoiding any GMO products and any glyphosate, which is going to decimate your tight junctions in your intestinal epithelium and cause a whole sort of metabolic havoc. So that would be the first one. And then to pay really careful attention to your light exposures, to minimize the artificial light exposure, to get plenty of healthy light, optimize your vitamin D, all those things that we both know and love so well. And then for third, it's really hard to describe one. And I think I would probably make three choices for the third one, which would be the movement and exercise, which you talked about. It's absolutely crucial. And you probably know that exercise increases PGC1 alpha, which is the key critical metabolic signal to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. So that is just crucial if you're interested in increasing your mitochondria. And then
seems important.
And then following close behind is something there clear to your heart, which is toxin exposure. You want to minimize your toxins. But if you're living in a moldy house, you know, you're doing the diet and the exercise and sleeping well, you're not going to get better. You got to get rid of toxins. So molds are important ones, but there's others, of course, and there's not enough time to go into that. And then water. I think water is key. Yeah. And most people are sort of clueless because they've been manipulated by the deceptive media, the thinking that fluoride is healthy. And as we both know, it's a dielectric blocker and probably one of the most pernicious toxins among many others that are in water, such as chloride and disinfection byproducts and arsenic and a whole variety of other pharmaceuticals. So you want to have clean, healthy water, and there's a lot of ways to optimize that. And we talk a lot about those in the book. So those are the five that I would recommend. But the two most important are food and photobiology.
I love it that you put light there, and few guests have said that. And I believe that they're equally important. Like, light's a drug.
That's interesting. I haven't figured out the relative importance of each, but it's way up there. I know they're really close, and I don't know enough.
It might be 60-40. This is equal with a few standard deviations on either side.
It's really close. It's really close to each other, no question.
Here's the thing. If you go to McDonald's every day and you're in the sun all the time, you're still not going to like your life. I'm sorry. If you supersize me with a tan, no. The food trumps light in that case, right? But that's a pretty extreme case. Like, you've got no healthy fat because it's all damaged fat, right? So if you move the food into not that crappy and the light into really good, you might be able to subsist. But I tell you, if you nail them both, you have this whole capacity that is
energy.
It's not visible to you. You won't know it's there until you feel it. You're like, oh, that's how I want to feel, right? And you get people there with the advice in Fat for Fuel, and it's just worth reading. So
yeah, well, thank you for your kind words. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And before we go, I normally end on that question, but we're talking about glyphosate, and there's issues with GMOs in and of themselves that has to do with plasmid level genetic drift and things like that that I'm concerned about, and I'm more concerned about glyphosate. And we've talked about the disruption of the lining of the gut, the tight gap junctions, And there's some humic acid liquids you can drink that have evidence that show that they'll help you with that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that concerns me is that there's evidence that glyphosate replaces glycine in collagen.
And that's where the gly in glyphosate comes from.
Exactly. Glycine.
Yeah, so it's just a metabolic inhibitor. It's just one of the worst things you can do to your body is expose yourself. And we're doing it to billions of pounds a year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And what that means is as you're forming connective tissue, your fascia, which communicates information around your body, allows you to have flexibility, allows you to recover from injuries. If you're eating even bone broth that's made with non-organic bones, guess what you're getting a lot of? You're getting a lot of this. And your connective tissues will be electrically insufficient, not to mention functionally insufficient. And you should expect to feel like crap when that happens. Like that's something I wanted to call out for listeners. And it's not just that it ruins your digestion. That's just where it starts. So we've got to stop that. And I can tell you, if your neighbors are spraying Roundup on their lawn, it's an act of war against you, because it's not just on their lawn. And, you know, they would be really annoyed if you started spraying pig manure into their lawn.
Well, typically they don't spray it on the lawn because, it's for targeting for weeds is what they do. Like maybe in their driveway and stuff, but it's still a problem. But they're most likely, if they're a normal consumer, they're going to be getting more from the food they eat than with their neighbor spraying their driveway.
That's a fair point. I guess my old neighbors didn't like mowing their lawn. They just sprayed the whole yard with it for 3 months.
That drove me nuts.
That's unusual. I'm like, guys, I have kids. Like, you can't do that. And like, we have kids too. And they're having bone marrow problems or whatever. But you can only do so much. So Dr. Mercola, it's been a pleasure to have you on for the second time. I'm really looking forward to having you at the Bulletproof Conference. For listeners, if you like what Dr. Mercola had to say, you should come this fall. It's September, October, bulletproofconference.com, and register and come hear Dr. Mercola's keynote. It'll be stuff you haven't heard before, and that's hard to do because I put everything I know out there. Yeah. And it'll be a lot of fun.
So. I'm currently, based on the discussion with your MC, thinking about doing all my biohacks, especially ones that you haven't mentioned in your book already.
So. Oh, very fun. People would just love to hear that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Dr. Mercola. And people can find out more at mercola.com. You've got a newsletter, and the name of your book is Fat for Fuel. And if you like the Bulletproof stuff, you're going to like Dr. Mercola's book. So it's definitely worth your time to read it. And while you're at it, I would not be offended if you went out to orderheadstrong.com and pre-ordered the book, because it helps. And by the way, is your publication date, it's already out, right?
No, it's May 16th.
Okay, cool.
May 16th. And we have a website, fatforfuel.org, where they can get a few special bonuses. They can't buy it on the site, so we don't sell it directly, but they can purchase it and show proof of purchase, and then we give them some videos and other things.
Same sort of thing that on Order Headstrong. And so fatforfuel.org. So you can head on over there, and it's the same thing. Dr. Mercola and I both have the same desires. If you order our books before they go out, it makes everything easier for the whole, like, getting books to the right bookstores and all that. So like, if this is something you're going to do, don't postpone it, because then essentially it's like not tipping the waiter. When you pre-order, you're giving us a tip.
Yeah, we've done pretty well. It's been the book's been in the top 10 of all books on Amazon for the last few days, so which is pretty cool.
Well,
and it's
done.
And it's 2 months out.
Very well done. I think we've hit top 50 with Headstrong, but not top 10. So good work.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully, it'll be number one. But I think these are both going to be some of the most important books this year, and because they're addressing foundational core issues that we need to help restore health and to help take control of it.
It'll happen. So you heard it, everyone. Read Dr. Mercola's book and read it now instead of later, or at least order it now instead of later. All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.